nothing's going to stop us. We're talking to Kari Erasmus from the Heart and Stroke Foundation, and we're talking about National Nutrition Week, and that's coming up. We'll find out more about it. Kari, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
And thanks for joining us today. We're talking about National Nutrition Week. What is it and why do we celebrate it?
Yes, so National Nutrition Week is held every year from 9 to 15 October. And it's an awareness campaign that is done by the National Department of Health to raise awareness about nutrition and how important it is. So in South Africa especially, it highlights how food choices affect our health. I mean, what we eat is related to everything in the body. And then, of course, also very important, our children's growth and even our environment.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. And why is this year's theme, which is food for health and health for all, very important?
Yes, so this year's theme has kind of two parts, food for health and then health for all. So firstly, food for health reminds us that nutritious food is the foundation of good health. And then the second part, health for all, reminds us that everyone deserves access to it. We know that in South Africa, many families face hunger, while we also struggle with things like obesity and chronic diseases like heart disease. So the theme really calls for action across society so that we emphasize and we make healthy, affordable food available to everyone because it's so important for their health.
Right, and that makes sense. Now, why is the Heart and Stroke Foundation of SA committed to supporting National Nutrition Week, and how does the theme Food for Health and Health for All resonate with your work?
Yeah, so every year, the Heart and Stroke Foundation South Africa partners with the National Department of Health during National Nutrition Week. Of course, we know that nutrition is also a very important part of our mission to prevent heart disease and promote healthier lives for all South Africans. Of course, poor dietary habits is a leading contributor to the rising burden of heart disease in South Africa, also strokes. We know that we struggle with malnutrition, obesity in our country. So, of course, we at the Heart and Stroke Foundation believe that everyone should be able to make healthy choices. We know that it's not as easy for everyone and that there are barriers like affordability of healthy foods and the environment that you are in that can make it harder for you to choose healthy foods and to choose healthy behaviors. So yes, we want, this is a big awareness campaign for us and we want to actively participate to raise awareness, educate communities and also advocate for policies that give us healthier food environments.
Right, and that makes sense. Now, what are the main nutrition challenges facing South Africa? You mentioned cost, but what are the main challenges?
Yes, so to give listeners a bit of a background, in South Africa, we face what we call a triple burden of malnutrition. And that triple burden is firstly undernutrition, so especially stunting and wasting in children. So stunting refers to when a child is not growing as well and is shorter than expected for a certain age. And wasting is when a child is below the weight expected for a certain age. So this is a very good indication of the child's growth and if it's meeting those targets that we want the child to meet. So in South Africa, we have a lot of stunting and wasting, which shows us that our children aren't growing as well. And that, of course, influences them in adulthood as well. So that's the first one. We also have micronutrient deficiencies like anemia, for example, especially in our women of childbearing age. So especially in our women and our pregnant women. And then the other one is, of course, overweight and obesity. So that's often linked to our diets that has changed so much. We're eating a lot more ultra-processed foods, high in sugar, salt, and fat. That's a lot more available to us. It gets mass-produced, so the prices are able to be a lot lower than other foods. So we're eating a lot more of that. And the reason that we call it a triple burden of malnutrition is because often you can even find within the same household that you can have all of these forms of malnutrition. So you might have a mom that is overweight or obese that has a child that is actually stunted and wasted. So we have both ends of the spectrum, and it's everything to do with our diets are often ultra processed and very low in those important nutrients.
Right. And then Corrie, why are the first 1,000 days of life so important? Because obviously that's where a lot of habits, good and bad, are formed.
Yes, no, definitely. So as I mentioned, we have a lot of stunting and wasting here in South Africa in our children. So firstly, the first 1,000 days is from pregnancy, so from conception until a child's second birthday. And this is such an important period because there's so much research that shows us that this first 1,000 days is absolutely critical to the child's growth, development, and it also has a lifelong impact. So whatever you're feeding the child now, if the child is stunted and wasted within this first 1,000 days, we actually have research that show that when that child reaches adulthood, it has a higher risk for chronic diseases like heart disease, blood pressure, diabetes. And again, on the other end, if your child is fed well within the first 1,000 days, breastfeeding, good maternal nutrition, age-appropriate complementary feeding, then we see that when that child reaches adulthood, the child has a lower risk of heart disease, blood pressure, and diabetes. So yeah, it's a very important period of a child's life. Also, it has other determinants, for example, how well the child might do at school. It's a very important period for brain development as well. Mm. So, that is why the first 1,000 days is so important.
And then looking at a healthy, sustainable diet, what would that actually look like?
Yes, so I think we are living in a space now where sustainability is becoming a lot more important. We are all a lot more environmentally conscious. We're thinking about things like climate change. And what we eat has a huge impact, of course, on sustainability. So firstly, a healthy diet is, very balanced. We said, of course, based on
oh dear, we've lost Corrie there for a moment. Let's just
fruits.
See. Are you back again? Okay.
Okay.
So, sorry, we lost you there.
Yes. Oh, okay, great. Okay, I'll just... So a healthy diet, lots of fruits, vegetables, your legumes, which are your beans, lots of whole grains, nuts, lean proteins, and then limiting ultra-processed foods that we said, and especially sugary drinks, because we're seeing such a high intake of sugar-sweetened beverages, fizzy drinks. So less of that, more raw, natural foods. And then when it comes to the sustainability part, so it's so important, firstly, to eat local foods. So support your local farmers, your street traders that are in your community, in your environment, selling your fresh produce. So that saves money. It protects the environment because it's shortening the supply chain. There's less gas emissions in the supply chain if you support your local farmers. And then, of course, eating a plant-based diet, so lots of, like we said, so luckily sustainability and a healthy diet go hand in hand, so lots of plants, so that's healthy, sustainable diet.
And then we go into the supermarkets and we just bombarded with products, but the products have all got labels on them. Why should we actually concentrate on reading the labels of the products and finding out what's in them?
Yes, because when we buy foods that have been processed, obviously during processing, there are things that get added. So it's very important for us to know what is getting added to our food and how much of it is getting added. So it's important to be able to see if the product that I'm buying is high in sugar or it's high in salt or high in fat. So reading labels helps us to be able to distinguish this and to choose healthier foods, because then I can compare different products and I can pick one that is lower in salt, sugar and fat. So that's a very important part. It's all about empowering yourself to make healthier choices. Of course, we do have the Heartmark logo that also tries and help the public to do that. If you see the Heartmark logo, then it means that we have already done the hard work for you. We have read the label, we have tested the product to make sure that what is on the label is what is actually on the product, and it is in fact low in salt, sugar and fat.
Right. And then getting back to communities, how can communities strengthen food security and resilience?
Yes, so it's getting back to that second part of this year's National Nutrition Week theme, food for health and health for all. So we want communities and we want people all across South Africa, no matter where you are, to be able to access and afford healthy food. So one of the first things that has been shown to be very beneficial in communities is community food gardens or household food gardens. So not only does that increase the available food in your proximity, but it also improves dietary diversity. So it meaning a lot more different foods you have access to. For example, if you are growing spinach and your neighbor or two houses down is growing cabbage and you trade, then in one household you can have spinach and cabbage. So automatically you're increasing the diversity and the different types of foods that you have access to. So that's a big one. Then, of course, supporting your local farmers and your local street traders that sell fresh produce. So many times your local vendors or street traders cater to the community and the community needs. So you'll find that prices are a little bit more affordable than your larger retailers. You'll also find that if you have a relationship with your trader, there's something similar to, for example, credit, where you can buy on credit some local fresh produce. So that's always something to do. And of course, we also said that's better for the environment as well. So that's the more sustainable choice. Then buying seasonal is very important. Seasonal produce is more affordable, and also in terms of the nutrients that you get. So nature is so smart, it caters exactly to what our bodies need. For example, in winter, when we need that extra vitamin C for our immune system, that's when we get citrus fruits that are rich in vitamin C. Buy fruits and vegetables that are in season. And then also we want to reduce food waste. So plan your meals, store food properly. If you have extra food that that you won't be able to finish, share that surplus food. That's a big part of food security, but also sustainability and making sure we take care of our environment so that we can produce food in a sustainable manner.
Right. And what role does food safety play in good nutrition and health?
Yes, so food safety is a huge part of food security. We've in recent years seen how harmful it can be to not practice food safety. We've seen that, unfortunately, there were foodborne illnesses in especially children. And so no, food safety is very important because foodborne diseases can harm children and adults. So it's so important, safe practices, including washing your hands, washing your food, separating raw and cooked food, storing food correctly, making sure what you store around your food, and cooking your food thoroughly. And that's the responsibility of everyone. So it's our responsibility as consumers and food handlers, but also as sellers. So we all have a role in keeping our food safe so we can get that optimal nutrition from our food.
And that's all about safety as well. And last, the now who is responsible for creating healthier food systems and safer food systems?
Yes. So again, our food environment is very important because that enables everyone to access affordable food. So firstly, government is responsible for making and enforcing policies that protect us, that protect our health, and ensure that we all have access to nutritious food. They're responsible for making sure that everyone has equal access to land and resources that empower farmers, boost local food production, and ensure sustainable agriculture. Of course, policies are also very important to protect what types of foods are available to the public. So in South Africa, for example, we have the salt regulation. So companies a while back had to reduce the amount of salt that is in their products. And then we have the same type of policies for sugar, as well as food labeling and marketing. So we need to look at the type of foods that are being marketed to us, especially to children. Oftentimes, you'll see that at these school sport events, it is our ultra-processed fast foods that are actually sponsors for these types of events. So if we see, if this is what our children are seeing, this is the type of marketing and advertisements that we're seeing all the time, then it becomes very hard for us to make healthy food choices. So that's something that needs to be regulated. And then, of course, we have other people that are responsible. For example, health workers and educators. We need to teach communities and teach people about healthy diets. If you don't know why it's important for you to eat healthy, then you're less motivated to make those choices. So on the other hand, if you know why it's so important and you know it's going to reduce your risk for heart disease, blood pressure, or diabetes, or if you have those conditions, it's going to improve your outcomes, then you are more inclined and more motivated to make those changes. Of course, also tailored advice. So if I give you specific practical advice that you can actually follow, then that makes a huge, huge difference in order for you to start making those healthy decisions. And then as consumers, so as people that are buying food, that are eating food, that are cooking food, we are responsible to make informed choices. So we need to educate ourselves, like we talked about, knowing how to read food labels, but also knowing what policies are in our country. How do I advocate and motivate for government to make sure that there are healthy foods available that we can actually afford? And of course, supporting our local produce. So we all have a responsibility.
And talking about responsibility for all, what can people do to support food for health and health for all?
So, kind of to put it all in a nice takeaway. So the first thing is that as a society, as a mom or as an expectant mother, child nutrition is so important. So support breastfeeding and good feeding, child feeding practices. Of course, eat, all of us can eat more fresh, local and seasonal foods. We can limit ultra-processed foods high in sugar, salt, and fat. Read food labels before buying. Practice food safety at home. Share nutrition knowledge with our family and friends. But very important here is to make sure we get our nutrition information from reliable sources and evidence-based sources. Then also, we want to read about and advocate for fair food policies and inform ourselves about food marketing so that we can make sure we make the right choices.
That makes sense. And that pretty much wraps up a marathon episode on National Nutrition Week. But Corrie, one last quick question. If somebody wants to find out more, they can, of course, get in touch with the Heart and Stroke Foundation.
Yes, definitely. I would urge listeners to go look on our website. We have very nice material, including a pamphlet that very easily shows you how to read a food label, a nice visual guide that makes it very simple. So our website is heartfoundation.co.za. Mm-hmm. And then if listeners want to reach out, we do have healthcare professionals that they can talk to. We do have dietitians. We have nurses. So our chat line there is 021-422-1586.
Great. Corrie, thank you very much for the chat this morning and looking forward to chatting next week, Tuesday.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot then. Cheerio. That's Corrie Rasmus from the Heart and Stroke Foundation.